Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, first there was the cartoon many, many years ago. Then there was the Broadway musical. I got to see it in college. Great, great musical production. And now we have another musical production, a live movie, not really a cartoon. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sophia? Chloe, Sarah Kate, what am I talking about? You got to see it last Saturday, I think. What is it? Beauty and the Beast, that's right. Chuck Pettijohn and Candace and Shelby Smith all took the kids to the movie last Saturday, Beauty and the Beast. Great musical, great thing. Chuck came over to my house to drop Sophia off, and he said this, we were disappointed. And I go, oh no. He was not with the movie. The movie was great. But we wanted to see it in 3D. But they didn't have good times for the kids and everything, so they got to see it in 2D. 2D is good, but 3D, for some movies anyway, is better. Right? Passion of the Christ. Not so good a movie to see in 3D, is it? But Beauty and the Beast, good movie. Overall, 3D is better because it's true to life. It doesn't just show the length and the width, it shows the depth. You get a fuller picture of the event, the story that happened. Nobody ducks in a 2D theater. But go to Disney World and put on those glasses and go into the Bugs Life Theater or something like that. All of a sudden, people are ducking, turning. Oh, no, no, it's in my face. It's right up close and personal. It seems real. While The Passion of the Christ may not be a good movie to see in 3D, it's too violent, our Palm Sunday gospel today is a text that we really should remember in 3D. It may even help to remember the three D's in our text. Something to put our mind on today. The first one being a dinner. A dinner. Did you hear about the dinner in the text? Mary and Martha put on a dinner for Jesus and for Lazarus, their brother, whom Jesus had risen from the dead. 6 days before the Passover, they had a dinner to celebrate that Lazarus was alive, their brother was alive, and Jesus did it. They have a dinner for these people whom they love, Jesus, thanks be to God for what he did. And Lazarus, who's back from the dead, back from his 4D, 4 days in the grave, right? Martha served the meal. Lazarus reclined at the table with Jesus, which I think is just a little picture of heaven, isn't it? A little picture of heaven to have a resurrection and then to dine, have dinner with Jesus. A picture of heaven. You know, here at Praise, we're accustomed to having a funeral meal. And that's to console and comfort those whose loved ones had died. But this was probably the first resurrection meal, wasn't it? What do you do when one of your loved ones dies? You know, a few years ago, there was a new tradition started. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe not. This lady had requested to be buried with a fork. And her pastor wondered, why? Why do you want to be buried with a fork? And she was a good Christian woman. She was from the Midwest, and they had a lot of potlucks and meals at churches. And she said sometimes the people would say, hey, keep your fork towards the end of the meal. Keep your fork. And she always knew when they said keep your fork, that meant something really good was coming, some great dessert, something they had to have. Keep your fork. Something good was coming. So she wanted to be buried with her fork as a little testament, if you will, of something good was coming. What's that something good that's coming? We might say in the text today, to dine with Jesus, to eat with Jesus. What an awesome reality. What a good little confession of faith. By the way, I want to take this moment to tell my family right now that if you bury me someday with a fork, it's okay. It's a little cliche, but that's all right. But better, I think, is I have this coffee mug. It's stainless steel, so it should do fine. We also have a nice beer mug. No, never forget that. But a Tupperware set with a bunch of protein bars might be nice too. Okay. Now, we don't have to be buried with a fork or a mug or Tupperware to get where we're going, do we? Not be buried with a fork. What do you need to be buried with? With faith. And isn't it remarkable how it says in Romans chapter 6, we were buried, therefore, with Christ Jesus into death, his death. And then we also rise with him in the resurrection to be buried with Jesus, to be buried with faith in our hearts that we too will rise from the dead, that sin won't conquer over us. You don't need a fork, you need faith, trust in Jesus, that you will one day dine with him in the eternal places. A dinner, the first D of our Palm Sunday. The second D in our text today was a denarius. Did you hear it? A Roman coin, a denarius. It comes out of the mouth of Judas Iscariot. A denarius, by the way, is worth about $2.80 in U.S. terms of bread. $2. It was given to a common worker's unskilled worker. That was his wage for the day. One denarius. And this comes out of Judas Iscariot's mouth, and he says about this perfume or this expensive ointment, this nard that Mary used to wash Jesus' feet. He asks a question. He goes, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Sounds very pious, doesn't it? But we know that his motivation wasn't pious. It says so in the text. It says he was a thief. He wanted to partake in that 300 denarii. This, however, sets the stage for the main event of this week. And that's this point. Everything has a value, doesn't it? Everything costs something. Mary, when she washed Jesus' feet with that expensive ointment, was making a statement, a sacrifice. She was giving up something expensive to show her thanks for who Jesus is and what he did for her brother. What a beautiful thing, a fragrant offering that she makes for Jesus. Let me ask you, how much would you pay to get one of your loved ones back? How big of a bouquet would you send to Jesus after he rose someone from you that you love from the dead? Or let me put it this way. Would you give up your house? Would you give up your car? Would you give up your dog to have one of your loved ones back? Most people would say, yes. Thieves would say, no. Why? Because thieves value money more than mankind. Money more than a miracle. Money more than the Messiah. By the way, if you hesitated today in answering that question, you're normal. Because everybody calculates things before they spend, don't they? They calculate, what's the value of that? What is it? Do I really want to give that up? I don't know. That means you have the sinful nature when you're valuing something by money rather than what the thing really is. Imagine then what Jesus valued when he gave up his life for his disciples who were all sinners. It was hard, but he didn't hesitate. Jesus once said, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what can a man give in return for his soul? It really is for soul's sake that Jesus gave up his life to save his disciples, to save sinners, to save you, and not just your soul. He gave up his body on the cross, the most precious thing he has, to pay sin's price so that bodies like Lazarus and bodies like yours can rise again with him in the resurrection and eat and dine in the heavenly places with him for eternity. I can't put a value on Jesus' cross, can you? I can't put a value on that open tomb. Not a monetary value, can you? There's just not enough denarii 300 is a pittance. 3 billion still doesn't even come close. He gave up his life in 3D for you. The third D in our text today could be any one of three things. It could be death. The chief priests and the scribes were plotting to put Jesus to death and then also to put Lazarus to death because on account of Lazarus, it said, many people were going and believing in Jesus. Or it could be the donkey. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, a beast of burden, a symbol of peace and of royalty. It was Jesus' chosen ride as he rides into Jerusalem. Or it could be, and this is what I chose to share with you today, a Greek word, edoxaste in the Greek. And the root of that is doxa, and it means glory. And you know this word by another word that we use in church, the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, we sing. The doxology, doxa. As in Jesus was glorified, it said in our text today. The same root we use often in church, orthodoxy and doxology. Palm Sunday was a day of doxa, a day of glory, of praise to Jesus. People cried out with their palm branches and yelled out, Hosanna, 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 which means in Hebrew, please save us now. After seeing all the corruption in the world and everything, and I heard this morning that this church in Egypt, two Coptic churches, had 25 deaths because someone planted a bomb on Palm Sunday in the churches, and the head of the Coptic church was there too. Look at the corruption that is in the world, even as we try to praise the one who came for us. The world is corrupt. And yet people cried out, Hosanna, save us now. What a paradox. Hosanna, save us, is our cry. It's a praise, though, at the same time. Praise God. Hosanna in the highest. It's a day of doxa today as Jesus rides into Jerusalem, because of the purpose for which he is accomplishing this week. It is a day of doxa because Jesus isn't just going to stand there and receive all this praise, is he? He's humbly riding on, not stopping and taking a bow, but going straight on into Jerusalem for his purpose, which is death. Taking his spot on the royal throne of God, the cross. And we come Monday, Thursday, Good Friday to hear again about the most important event in all of history in 3D, by which Jesus takes upon himself the sin of the whole world and dies for it to show the glory of God, the doxa, and to bestow on his people his glory. That you get a piece of that glory because of what Jesus is doing, giving you his innocence, his suffering, his redeeming, he's buying back you this week from sin and death and all evil. That's a good reason to give doxa to Jesus, because God values you more than denarii with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Yes, God's love is best experienced in 3D. So glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Or as we hear in Ephesians chapter 3, St. Paul say this, we bow our knees before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, doxa, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, 3D, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. A reason to give him our Hosanna. A reason to give him your Amen. Amen. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we think or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory, doxa, in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.